Okay, since this week is Pesach, and I've gotten a lot of shilas from the Talmidim about what to do when they vacate their dormitory rooms or their apartments, I figured we'd talk a little bit about Bedikas Chametz. We don't have so much time, but maybe just a little bit about Bedikas Chametz and things to keep in mind in terms of getting rid of the Chametz. So we all know the Mishnah in the beginning of Pesachim says that tonight, the 14th of Nisan, we're bodek for Chametz, we check for Chametz. And we've shown them, explained for different reasons. A, because there's an issa to own chametz on Pesach, so we have to take out the chametz from the Rishus. And B, there's also an issa achila, there's an issa to eat chametz, and we're afraid that if you leave the chametz there, you might forget that that it's Pesach, you might come to eat the Cheerio or the pretzel that you leave there. So we take out all of the chametz from the Rishus so that you're not going to violate any issa. The lashon of the Mishnah is that we're boken as a chametz le'or haner. We do it le'or haner, the Gemara has different drushes, why we do it by candlelight. Rabbi Willig has pointed out that the Gemara says that you're not supposed to be bodek l'or avuka, not supposed to use a torch, because we're afraid that you're not going to be bodek in the chorim mustak, and you're not going to get into the nooks and crannies because you might cause a fire. But by the same token, since we don't use fire so commonly nowadays, it's probably better to be bodek with a flashlight. The old-time flashlights didn't focus the beam, you know, in the area that you're being bodeg, so maybe it wasn't such a clear light. But nowadays, there are excellent flashlights that really focus the beam, and he felt that it's probably better to be bodeg with a flashlight, because if you're bodeg with a candle, you're not going to check as well, because you're not going to be able to get on your hands and knees and really get into the nooks and crannies. So it's better to be bodeg with a flashlight. There are some who say that because of the drushes in the psukim, that seems like there's some kind of an inyan to be bodek or haner. So it's best to start like that. Sometimes people start, they'll be bodek a little bit with the ner, and then they'll switch to the flashlight in the middle to do the better bodek. It's important to keep in mind that we're not trying to be bodek for crumbs. That's not the goal. Yeah, when we clean up, so you're trying to take away all the crumbs and to vacuum, etc. But the goal of the bodek is not to be bodek for crumbs. We assume the pirurin of the tili, that all pirurin, all little crumbs are going to be batel anyway. Right? They're not choshev, so people are going to, they consider them batel. And even if they don't consider them batel, we're going to do a bitl anyway. We're going to be mavatel all of the pirurim. That's not the problem. We're not trying to look for the pirurim, we're not trying to look for the crumbs. We're looking for a decent piece of chametz, right? Like a Cheerio. We're looking for a piece of, you know, pretzel, or, you know, as my kids found. My kids were cleaning up, you know, last week, and they found a cookie, a little cookie. Not such a big, but a cookie. Yes, it's not such a big cookie, but still, it was a tasty cookie. It was a chocolate cookie, you know. So that's what you're looking for. They were Mekayim Bedikas Chametz, you know, a couple of days before the Yom Tov. But that's what you're looking for at the Bedikas Chametz. And when you check before that night of Bedikas Chametz, that's all part of the Kima Mitzvah. It's Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag. You're checking, but Chazal Avetakana, that the night before, you're supposed to finish the job, you're supposed to do the actual Bedikah and look through all of the areas that that you check. Sometimes you miss things. You can miss things. You have to check very carefully. It's not a perfunctory type of bedikah. You know, let's get done with it in 5 minutes, and then we'll go out for pizza. You know, you have to be bodek like a mensch. It depends how large you know, if you have an apartment, a dormitory room, a house, or that. You know, you have to be bodek appropriately. You know, if not, the whole thing is a joke. It's important to keep in mind that we're trying to be bodek appropriately, but at the same time, you're not being bodek for the little crumbs, you know. You're being bodek for a significant piece of chametz. The Gemara in Pesachim says that if someone is in his home 30 days before Yom Tov, he has a chiyuv bedikah. It's not just if he's in the home the night of the 14th. Even 30 days before. Now, we have a common custom that the Tosefta brings down, that one can sell the chametz to a guy. One can sell the chametz to a guy. And bismanah says we do that. Right? We do it through the rav of the shul. We don't sell the chametz to the rav. This is a misconception. People think that they're picking up the handkerchief or the yarmulke or whatever the rav gives them because he's buying the chametz to you. No, no, no. The purpose of picking up the pen is a kinyan chalipin on the shlichus. You're making the rav into your shliach, your emissary, your agent to sell the chametz to the guy. You still own the chametz. The Rav is your emissary, then he'll sell the chametz on whatever time he's going to sell. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Right? So, but the purpose of the picking up of the pen is just to be mechazik the shlichas. Because the whole thing, you know, harama, it's a harama, you know, it looks like, you know, the whole thing is a joke. It's not a joke, it's a serious sale. If the guy decides to keep the chametz, then he'll pay for it. and you'll buy other chametz after Pesach. But it's a serious sale, so to strengthen the seriousness of the people involved in the sale, that's why we do the kinyan on the shlichus. But even if you can't come to the Rav, you can do it via telephone. During COVID, there were many people who couldn't come to the Rav. So the poskim said you can do it over the telephone. As long as you tell the Rav, I am making you my shliach, b'leiv shalem. You say, I'm doing it b'leiv shalem. So that expression is the same as the kinyan chalipin. You're saying, I understand what I'm doing, and this is serious business. You know, that's the goal. So even if you can't, it's better to go to the Rav. But if you can't come to the Rav in person, you could still appoint him via telephone or via Zoom or something. And there's an old machlokas whether you can sell chametz gomer. Can you sell real chametz, like cookies and cakes, or can you only sell karovis chametz? So there are different customs and different families. Many do sell chametz gomer. Some are machmer to only sell karovis chametz. What's the din if a person is leaving his home on the 14th? He's not going to be home for Pesach, but he's going to be home the night of the 14th. He's leaving Erev Pesach. He's going to the hotel Erev Pesach. So does he have a chiyuv bedika? He's there at the time of the bedika, but he's gonna be leaving. So he wants to sell all of his chametz. He's gonna sell his whole property. Let's say he'll sell his whole house to the government. But at the time when the chiyuv bedika was chal and on the night of the 14th, he was there in his house. So does he have a chiyuv bedika or not? It's a major discussion. Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav brings a machlokas aposkim about that. Some claim that if you're there the night of the 14th, then there's a chiyuv bedika. And others say, well, what's the difference between burning the chametz Erev Pesach after the bedika? You leave some of the chametz out to burn, right? So you're going to sell the chametz to the guy Erev Pesach, whatever time, before the Zman is Rachila, right? So you're going to sell the chametz, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? Before the Zman is Rahana, right? You're going to sell the chametz to the guy. So what's the problem? Right, you're Yotzi Achiv, even if you're not Bodek, but there's no difference between being Bodek and then burning the chametz or selling the chametz to the guy. So since you know that you're going to sell the chametz to the guy the next day, so you should be Yotzi, so you're Achiv Bedika the night of the 14th by selling the chametz to the guy the next day. So that's the Shaila. If you're leaving the house on the 14th by day, you're going to be there at the 14th at night, is there Achiv Bedika or not? Should we say that the sale to the guy Erev Pesach is enough? We say no. If you're in the house the night of the 14th, there's Achiv to be Bodek chametz. That's a shayla. The Mishnah Berurah says it's best to be mach. So he says that a person who's going away for Pesach, right, the best thing to do is not to be there the night of the 14th. Right? Not to be there the night of the 14th, and to sell everything before the night of the 14th, meaning to be part of the sale on the 13th. Most Rabbanim do two different sales. They sell the chametz on the 13th and the 14th. Because there are some people for whom the Isser Hanoah is going to kick in before the Rav sells it on the 14th. But if the person's, you know, is going away, if he's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, so the Zman Isra Achila, Zman Isra Hanah is 6 or 7 hours before. So you can't sell it the day of the 14th, I don't know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So for those individuals, the sale has to be made on the 13th. So there's always going to be another Mechir. So someone who's going away for Yom Tov, the best thing to do is to sell the whole apartment, but to be part of the sale on the 13th. You're part of the sale on the 13th, so then clearly the Chiyuv Bedika is not going to be chal by you. Chiyuv Bedika won't be chal by you if you're part of the sale on the 13th. That's good if you're going to go up to the hotel a day before. And let's say you're only going Erev Pesach, so what are you supposed to do? It's not such an easy shayla, because you can't really sell the apartment or the house on the 13th. You're still living there. It looks funny. There are some poskim who say, yeah, it's okay. The guy is not makbid if you're there just for that night. But other poskim say that if you're really selling the whole house, you have to leave. It doesn't really make sense to be there after you sell the house. There is a chumra of the Chasam Sofer that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that by selling the home, you will be yotzei your chiyuv bedikas chametz to some extent, but not completely. He says there is a din on the bias, that the bias has to be baduk. So if you're selling the home, then it's baduk. It's not going to have chametz. Right? Any chametz that belongs to you, it's going to belong to the guy. But there's a chovas gavra also. If you live in the home within 30 days before Yom Tov, there's a chovas gavra to do bedikas chametz. That you're not going to be yotze. So according to the Chasam Sofer, you really should try to be yotze your chovas gavra of bedikas chametz. So some have this chumra that they leave over part of the apartment. not the part of the apartment that's going to be full of chametz, like the kitchen or something, but they leave over a chelek of the dining room that's easy to be bodeg, that just has crumbs, but you know, you can sweep the floor, and that's it. They bodeg that area to be owed to that chovas gavra. Even though they are selling the whole apartment, they're selling the rest of the apartment, but a chelek of the apartment they leave over. Now, the truth is that if someone is going somewhere else, going to a hotel, or going to his in-laws or to his parents, and he has a room there, and he'll be there the night of the 14th, then you don't have to leave over part of your dorm room or part of your apartment to do bedikah there. Because you'll do bedikah the night of the 14th, where you are. Right? You'll listen to the bracha, the balabayas will make the bracha, and then you'll go to your room and do your own bedikah. So you're yotze, the chovas gavra for sure, there's no question. It's only a shaila if a person is not going to have their own area. They're not going to have their own area, so they want to be yotze, the chovas bedikah. So then, or if they're going to a hotel, Erev Pesach, and the hotel is really badot, they're not bringing any chametz into the hotel, it's a whole shaila if you can really even do bedikas chametz, even if they'll be there the night of the 14th, but the hotel does not allow any chametz in there. So the whole thing is badot, so what are you doing bedika for? So then, perhaps it makes sense to try to be yotze the chumrah of the chasam sofer, to leave over an area of your home, of your apartment, to be bodeg. Okay? L'chatchila, one is supposed to be bodeg the night before they leave. So let's say they leave their apartment, or they leave their home on the night of the... If they're leaving, let's say, on the 12th, right? So the night of the 12th is supposed to be bodeg the night before. But a bracha is not made on the bedikah unless it's done the night of the 14th, because that's the Ikar Takanas Chacham. But a person is supposed to be bodeg the night before they leave. So like if a person is leaving the dorm room, let's say they're coming to Shir Mitzvah Hashem next week, right? The days that we're going to be in Shir, you don't have to put it on the tape. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he's coming to Shir, and he's leaving Wednesday, let's say. Let's say he's leaving Wednesday. Right? So when is he going to be bodek? He has to be bodek Tuesday night. If someone is leaving Tuesday, he's missing Shir on Tuesday, so he has to be bodek Monday night, right? The night before. What happens if a person forgets to be bodek? We get the Shabbos every year. Right? Someone comes on a certain day and say, I'm leaving in the afternoon, what do I do now? So, b'di'evet, Mishnah Berurah says, if you weren't bodeg at night, be bodeg by day. We hold La'or Haner is the best bedikah because somehow, because it's dark and you're shining the light and it's focused, so you'll see better. La'or Hashemish is not as good, but it's something. It's something. So if you weren't bodeg at night, b'di'evet, you can still be bodeg by day. But it's best to be bodeg the night before. Yaakov.
If you're in an apartment with multiple people or a dorm with multiple people, is it on the responsibility of the last person leaving to do the bedikah on the apartment, or does each person have responsibility for their own bedikah?
Each person has a responsibility for his own bedikah because he owns the chametz independently. But what one should do is you should ask the person who will be there last to do the bedikah for everyone. I mean, it depends if you have your own bedroom. There are areas that are joint, right, that are shared jointly, and there are areas that perhaps are not shared jointly. If you have your own bedroom, then you have your own chiyuv to be bodeg. So that I would do the night before I leave. But the joint areas, you don't necessarily have to do. But make up with someone else. Don't just leave it for him and just assume he's going to do it. Make up with him that he should do the bedikah the night before he leaves, if he's the last one who's going to be there. Similarly, if a person is leaving his home but giving rishus for someone else to use the home, very often, you know, there are houses in the area or apartments or something, and children are coming. Children are coming to the neighborhood, so you know you'll ask your neighbor if you can use the house. It's a very tricky question because if someone is going away for Yom Tov, they're going to a hotel, they might want to sell the house. They don't want to do a bedikah. So they want to just sell the whole house to the guy. So you can't put your friends or your family members there because that home is not bodek. I mean, if you want to do the bedikah for them, it's one thing, but I'm not so sure that they would want you to do the bedikah and look at all the nooks and the crannies and the cabinets and whatnot, you know, the drawers. I don't think they want you to do that. So it's not so simple. It's really not so simple to borrow an apartment or to borrow a home to use for Pesach if no bedikah has been done. You know, the gezeira of Shema Yovel La'ochlo applies just as equally to someone who doesn't own the house. I know, you're less likely to eat a cookie if you find it in the cupboard because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to someone else. It really belongs to the God if you sold it to the God. But the problem is, you see a cookie and you forget yourself. I mean, why would a person eat a cookie on Pesach in general? Because you forget it's Pesach. So, you know, you see a cookie and you think it's such a comfortable home, you get used to it. So, and let's say you bring your own cookies in there too, kosher Pesach cookies, but you make a mistake. So you might come to eat the chametz to cookie too. So if the house is not baduk, it's highly questionable whether you're allowed to stay there. Yes.
If someone's leaving a dorm room at night, should check that night. Let's say they're leaving at 10:30 at night, should you check that same night or the night before that?
I think you could check that night, because as long as he's there at night and you can do the bedika, that's fine. Because right? He's doing the bedika before he leaves. I'm talking about a case where he's leaving by day, so he's not going to be there at night. But if you're leaving after the Zman Bedika, L'chor, you can be Yotze Kedasukini. Yep. Rabbi Willig holds that even if you've sold the apartment to a guy, let's say you're going away. It's very common that people go away to their in-laws, to their parents, but no one to take the clothes for a whole Yom Tov. Their clothes and the paraphernalia and everything that they're taking the whole Yom Tov is a lot to schlep. So very commonly, they'll go to their in-laws, let's say, for the first days, and then they'll come home just to switch the clothes. They want to put the dirty laundry in the apartment, and they'll take whatever. There are other suits, and there are other dresses, and whatever else they're taking to the next place. So is it permissible to come into the apartment? So some folks could say, no, it's awesome. You can't do that, because if you sold the apartment to the guy. Now, if you only sold the cupboard to the guy, right, the area, we generally sell the chametz and the makom that the chametz is in. All right, we try to do a kinyan chatzar also. So we sell the makom, we sublease. Even if it says in your rental agreement you can't sublease your apartment, Rabbi Willig says for this purpose it's mutter. It's a religious sublease. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about to sublease for someone else to actually live there. Right, so it's mutter to sublease. So let's say you sublease you sell the chametz and you sublease the area that the chametz is in, the cupboard, whatever, the room that the chametz is in. Right, so if you're only doing it for part of the apartment, for the kitchen, for the pantry, whatever, but not for the main area that you can walk into the bedroom, right, so then you can go into your bedroom because you never sold that to the guy. But if you sell the whole apartment, you don't want to do any bedikas chametz. You're selling the whole apartment to the guy. You're subleasing the whole apartment to the guy. So some person can say, you can't go in. You can't go in because it's gone. It doesn't belong to you. Rabbi Willig feels, I think he's spoken to Mr. Brown that he used to sell the chametz to. Sold the chametz to him for many, many years. So I think he would stipulate with him that people should be able to go in just to get their things. Are you makpid? Do you care about this, Mr. Brown? And he would say, no, Rabbi, I don't care about it. Right? So that was a special arrangement that he made. It's a big kula, but it's very difficult not to be able to go home just to get something. You want to get the mail, you want to get something. You know, you can't walk in. You know, if you can't walk in, let's say you forgot something. You forgot something, you can't come into the apartment. So, according, you know, Rabbi Willig's arrangement allows you to come into the apartment. I don't know about other poskim. You have to check with the person that you're selling chametz with, whether that's included or not. Recently, some people have told me that some rabbanim are more machmer. They say if you're selling it to the goy and you want to take the mechira seriously, so then you can't go into the apartment. Others are mekel, so you should always ask the rabbi that you're selling the chametz. Yeah, that you're having sell your chametz. You're not selling chametz to the rabbi, but the rabbi that you're making the agent to sell your chametz. Yeah. It's important to give access to your apartment when you sell the chametz. You can't just, you know, fill out the document, tell him where you live, and that's it. If he has no way of getting into the apartment, so what kind of a sale is that? Right? There has to be some kind of a way that you'd be able to get in. If he'd be able to get in, you could leave the key with the super or something, or you have a Shabbos lock or something that if the guy really wanted to get in during Pesach, that he should be able to get it. And of course, if you're home, then there's no problem. If he wants to come in and get the chametz, he'll have to pay for it. He might pay a lot to get that chametz, because they make an arrangement that if he wants a little bit of chametz, he actually might have to take the whole thing, not just a little bit. They want to make sure he's not going to take the chametz. So, but he might have to pay a lot, but technically, if he wants that beer, if he wants that schnapps, you know, he can get it. He can get it. Maybe he shouldn't. We talk about this. Anyway, yeah.
What about in the dorms? If one sells his chametz in the dorms, and like, what if they close the dorms and nobody can get into the building?
But you can get into the building. You can get, if the guy wanted to get the chametz, so then they would call up YU and they'd speak to whatever, Rabbi Blau, Rabbi Penner, they'll figure out a way that the guy can get in. Because if he couldn't get in, that would destroy all of the mechiras chametz for all of the guys in the dormitory, and I don't think YU wants to do that. So I would imagine that if the guy was so desperate that he wanted the chametz that the guys in the dormitory are saving, I don't know what chametz are we saving. I mean, I guess cereal. I don't think anyone has schnapps in the dormitory, right?
We're being realistic. If the guy didn't get tested, why he's not going
to... No, but the guy didn't have an exception. Right? The guy, if the guy wants to come for the chametz, for him the letter. For him the letter. Yeah. That's a good kasha at the time. Yeah. So, yes.
Does one really need to sell his chametz to get rid of it? Like, if he doesn't have that much, can he just get rid of his chametz? Or maybe just sell, like, a certain cupboard of his chametz?
If you hold that you can sell chametz gomer, then there's no problem. Someone asked me a shayla recently. Let's say they have a good sale on chametz before Pesach. So can they buy the chametz, sell it, and then they'll have it after Pesach? I told them, I think if you sell chametz gomer, it's mutter. It's mutter to do that. I think there are establishments, there are supermarkets that do that. They buy up a lot of chametz. The supermarket is owned by a guy. They buy up a lot of chametz, they put it in a storage area, and they know what they're doing. They want to be able to sell chametz. They want to have a monopoly to sell chametz after Pesach. So a store that's owned by a non-Jew will buy like a whole storage area of chametz, and there's a mashgiach ensuring that nothing is being moved, nothing is being put in afterwards. This is all bought from before Pesach, and that's it. And there are other establishments that are owned by Jews, but they'll store up the chametz and it's sold to a guy. It's sold to a guy, and then they'll buy it back after Pesach. So you might say, but what kind of a sale is that? It's a great sale because if the guy wants it, so he'll be able to take it, and you have nothing against that. I mean, you'd rather he would leave it, right? But the sale is a sale. If the guy wants to get the chametz, then you'll find another way to get chametz after Pesach. As long as you sell chametz gomer, it should be permissible to buy chametz before Pesach, and then to sell it to a guy, and then you'll buy it back from the guy. If he wants to sell it back to you, then you'll get it back, and if not, he won't get it back. As long as it's a mechira b'leiv shalem, it should be okay. Follow up.
Can you also sell just like a certain like cabinet of chametz, like a fridge? Can you sell like everything
in the fridge? Yeah, why not? You're selling a certain area. That's what most people do. They don't sell their home. A person who's going to be home for Yom Tov. So the way that the mechiras chametz works is you fill out some kind of a document with the rav. And the truth is, the document should really specify certain things. It should be as specific as possible. If not, then the whole thing is a joke. Yeah, I'm selling my chametz. Where's the chametz? Who chametz? What chametz? I didn't even know what I'm selling. You have to think about it. You should check off boxes. What am I selling? I'm selling, I don't know, cookies, harovis chametz, this, that. You know, they have different things to check off. And you should specify where it is. Most of the chametz is here. It's in the pantry, it's in the refrigerator, it's in the garage, it's here. And it also includes other places that I'm not necessarily specifying. But at least to specify a little bit. The more you specify, the more serious the sale is, the more valid the sale will be. Will.
One of the things that they ask on the forums to discuss about a lot of times is like, how are you supposed to be able to access the chametz? But we don't really know how that works for us, our dorm rooms. We don't know what the protocol is. So we can't really give that information.
So what you could say is if he wants to get the chametz, then he should call. He should call you, and you will call. You know, if you leave a phone number, if you leave a cell phone number, that's, you know, nowadays you can leave a cell phone number. So as long as you leave a cell phone number that he can contact you, you'll be able to call YU. And they'll give him access to the dormitory. They'll give him access to the dormitory. Or they'll convince him that it's not worth his while, or the Rav will convince him it's not worth his while to get just this little piece of chametz, because he's going to have to buy more. He can't just take a little piece and he'll just pay you for the chametz. You're selling him all the chametz, so either he takes all or nothing. So it's a choice that he's making. But technically speaking, if he wants access to the chametz, you'll leave in your phone number, and you're willing to give him the access to the chametz if he so desires. Sometimes people ask, are they selling the kalim that have chametz in it? No, we're not selling the kalim of chametz, assuming that the kalim themselves are clean. Right? You're not selling the pots and the pans. You don't want to sell the pots and the pans. It's a whole shaila. If you sell the pots and the pans, you might have to do tefillas kalim after Pesach. Because if the pots and pans are owned by a goy, so and now you as a Jew are buying them from the non-Jew, you might have to do tefillas kalim. So we don't do that. Some rabbanim are machmer to say that if you have like a mixer, you're selling the chametz in the mixer. You know, like sometimes you get like this little piece of flour or something that get embedded in the mixer or something. That's not a blia. You're not selling the actual mixer. You're only selling the chametz that's embedded within the mixer that you can't clean out. And that's a chumah. That's a chumah by itself. But the blios in the kedera, the absorptions in the kedera, that there's no chiyuv to sell. No chiyuv to sell. And we don't sell the kalim. We don't sell the kalim so as to avoid a tefillas kalim problem after Yom Tov. If someone goes to a hotel on Pesach, so does he have to do a bedika in the hotel? So most hotels are muchzak or baduk. You know, they're not, we assume that there is no chametz in the hotel at all. Is a further shaila about a hotel. Maybe it's not even considered a schirus. Maybe not even a socha, because they can move you from room to room. You might not be so happy if they move you from room to room, but they really technically have the ability to do that. So you're not really a renter. You know, the typical renter is that I'm renting for a certain amount of time, and that's it. It's mine. So the fact that they can move you, that's also a question as to whether you can do a bedikas chametz there. So the poskim say, like, can you make a bracha on such a bedikas chametz? Let's say you're by the hotel for a couple of days before Yom Tov. So can you make a bracha? It might not be schiris, and maybe the hotel is a makom baduk. So if it's already baduk, so then what are you making a bracha on the bedika? I think Rabbi Willick says that if you're there for a few days before and you bring chametz into the hotel, if the hotel allows people to bring chametz in, but you know, you have to just be careful with your own chametz, so then maybe you can make a bracha on the bedika. But if you don't bring chametz in, if the hotel really doesn't allow any chametz there, it's hard to believe that there's a chiyuv bedika in the place, because if it's already a makom that's baduk, then there might not be a chiyuv bedika, certainly not a chiyuv bedika with a bracha. So if you want to be machmer, be bodek, maybe there's a value to doing that. But I certainly wouldn't make a bracha on that bedika. Okay, these are some of the Rashi Prakim. We're not able to talk about everything, but at least some of the Rashi Prakim to give us a sense as to what to do for B'dikas.